This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday afternoon, September 10th, and today we are going to be talking all about destruction in Fukushima, as well as previewing the show from Hiroshima, which takes place next weekend. But Damon, first of all, this is a very special episode of the PuroCast, because today marks episode number 100.
How about that? I mean, we did it. You know, it's we did it.
It was looking rocky there for a while, but
oh, there are many times where it's like looked like the ship was going to go down, and I was taking the crew with me. we were going to go down in a blaze of glory. But
have
we did
fun
it.
In Tokyo.
Have fun in Tokyo, Colin. That is a classic 2 a.m. text.
My
from
favorite.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I don't think, like I said, I don't have that much stick-to-itness in my life, but I'm proud to say that we made it to 100, and I think I'm looking forward to 100 more, Colin, as they say in the business.
Wow, you've really got to start taking care of yourself then.
You know what? You know how like they had the death pool?
Yeah.
I wonder if they say, is Damon going to die before 200?
Should I put up a poll on Twitter?
Right. Yeah. Can you do a poll?
I could.
I want a poll on Twitter. If will there be what will come first? Damon's demise. Usually in a probably in a no never mind. Or the 200th show. Yeah, that'd be a fun little thing about my shortcomings.
Can you even envision yourself during the 200th show? Like where your life is going to be 100 episodes from now?
Huh.
Because no. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I like things like I'm always going looking for that button to be pushed in the sense of fun and, you know, just excitement. Blah, 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 blah.
You're always chasing that dragon.
I am. Yes, that is a great metaphor, analogy. Yeah.
Not to be confused with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly's finisher.
No. I don't know. Where would I be at the 200th? So at least it would have to be a year, right? No, it took us 2 years to get to here, right?
Yeah, it took us 2 years to get to 100, but you never know.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I'm day by day, unfortunately, is how I'm doing things. I don't know. But yes, we are very happy that each and every one of you, new and old listeners, we have people that have been here since. I had a guy hit me up on Reddit talking about, you know, he's been listening since, you know, show 4 and 5, and that's amazing to me that people would put up our just silliness.
Well, that's what I was going to get into, because like I'll go on Twitter all the time. And I'll see plenty of familiar names that I remember seeing when we first started the podcast and first opened up the Twitter account. So, yeah, there are plenty of folks out there who have been on board with the PuroCast from day number one. And for that, we thank you. And we welcome our growing audience. Lots of new listeners, new names, new faces jumping on board each and every day. And at the end of the day, what this podcast is, Damon, is that you and I are fans of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right.
And we get on here and we have a conversation about the product and what we just watched. And everybody's kind of in the back seat along for the ride. And really, that's what this is in a nutshell.
Right. I consider this, again, and I've said it 1,000 times, but it's me, you at a bar, two fucking Guinnesses, and let's talk about the show that we just watched. Right. And there were people that happened to overhear this conversation. And that's how I treat it. I don't treat it that I'm an international pro wrestling superstar. I don't.
Well, I think it is a part of you that would like to, you know, think that you're different than the average fan.
They call that narcissistic personality disorder, Colin.
Yes, you were informing me of this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I took a test on it, and they said that like movie stars and people who, you know, you would think
pro
would
wrestling
have
podcast it, hosts. Or,
well, here's my point. Like those type of people, like the actors and people in Hollywood types, are like score in the like high 20s, 30s, right? I scored like 39 or 38, something ridiculous, like something like absolutely astronomical. And I'm like, and I even like sent it to two other people. And I was like, be honest, is this me? And they're like, the one, she was like, yep, sounds pretty accurate.
To a T.
And the other one was like, yup, just put yup. I was like, oh, jeez, I don't want to be that. Because that's, I mean, well, listen, I talk about it all the time, how difficult that is to fucking live with and be with and fucking just be around.
And do a podcast with.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, you get, like, imagine people who are, like, really embedded in my life, Colin. You know what I mean? And, like you just get to shrapnel. Like, you just get shrapnel.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's like, you know. Oof. You're in the trenches
oh,
on
so
the beach.
Great. Yeah, but it's exciting, right? It's fun.
It's so you know what's funny about you? You're like the bizarro Johnny Depp, all right? And hear me out.
You better say I'm better looking than Johnny Depp.
One of the things that Johnny Depp is notorious for is that he's never seen any of his movies. Like, he doesn't watch his movies when he comes out. He just doesn't want to watch them. I don't think he's ever seen a film that he's been in. But, like, when this podcast drops, oh, Damon's one of the first listeners. Make no mistake about it.
Well, listen, I use
you
the
love
of,
you love listening to yourself.
I kill myself sometimes. I'll be in the car and be like, "Oh, you fucking character, yo!
You slay!
Oh, destroying the show. You were great."
The bizarro Johnny Depp.
Yeah. But I do listen to. As strange as it sounds, because I know we get some people don't have a problem with the sound quality, but other times people say, like, sometimes I fade in and out, or and here's the thing with me fading in and out, I'm constantly riding my levels, because whatever reason, like, I'll just look in the middle of me talking and I'll see like my input volume just drop down to like halfway, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I already know I have a little bit of a booming voice as it is, so. Anyway, I am listening somewhat for sound quality. That is my excuse.
But... booming, jovial voice, like old Saint Nick.
Oh, fuck me. All right, listen, Colin. We have let's start out with some good news.
Yes.
100th show. Congratulations to us. We have nothing special planned, but again, I think it is a very there are a million podcasts out there, right? A million of them, and probably 500,000 pro wrestling ones, and not many people get to this point. So I think that is an accomplishment in and itself, right? But so again, let's pat us on the back. The second thing is, I think we got to mention right out of the gate, and again, we're watching this. Look, I doubt if you're in the Florida, Georgia area, you don't give a shit about pro wrestling, let alone our stupid podcast. But if you're down there, man, before we went on the air, Colin, we were talking about this hurricane is some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And I just think it's weird that it's like on our 100th show. So, I mean, I don't, you know, like I don't want to not recognize what is happening right now in Florida. It is brutal. And I hope if we have, and I'm sure we do have listeners in Florida. I know we have listeners in Florida.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet.
Yeah, I hope everyone's safe. I hope everyone is as they say, hunker. This is where they use hunkered down a lot, Colin. This is hunkered down time. I hope everyone's hunkered down and safe. And I hope the property damage is minimal and hang in there. I would be shitting my pants, to be honest with you. Because I don't like a thunderstorm, let alone a 100-mile-an-hour hurricane rolling through.
Yeah, Damon, you know, I was just saying to you off the air, I have an aunt and some cousins that live down there in Florida in the Tampa area, and they just basically had to flee their home and head towards the center of the to a friend's house. And I think they're in a zone C right now, whatever that means.
I don't know.
What that is exactly, but I think it's better than what they were in. But it's like, it's a situation where they pretty much stand to lose everything that they have. They might come back to nothing. Like, who knows? So it is a very real, scary situation. And yeah, to all of our listeners in Florida, you know, stay safe, hang in there, and do what you can.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to open up on such a scary note, but it's literally you can't. Yeah, I know. I feel weird doing this and not acknowledging it. You know, it's just fucked up. So again, stay safe, everyone down there in Florida. We are absolutely thinking of you guys and gals and family and friends and pro wrestling fans. All right, so that's that. And now we have to segue from that, Colin,
to destruction in Fukushima.
This show. Holy moly.
I thought you were going to say something else there. You stayed on there too long.
Did I? Well, look, this is one of those shows where the kids are going to get a little upset, right?
Yeah.
Kids are going to be negative Damon.
Negative Colin.
Negative Colin. We know what these shows are, right? I mean, we're not talking about invasion attack. We're not talking about King of Pro Wrestling. We're not talking about a G1 show. We're talking about these destruction shows. And we always scratch our head when they split them up, and we know why they're splitting them up. You know, the houses are good. We're going to try and get as much as we can out of these guys, the guys being the fans. I'm going to split them up. But I'm going to say something, Colin, right here and now.
Okay.
On this very 100th podcast.
Episode 100.
100. We're in triple digits right now. This show, and we sit here and we talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, and there are so many positives this year, right?
Our favorite promotion having the greatest year ever.
I mean, this is an unbelievable year, right? It's like it's like being a Yankees fan or being a
Bulls fan.
Or a Bulls fan back in the day when they were winning the championship. But, you know, everybody knows what I mean. Like, you have your team and they're just dominant, and it's just a great time to be a fan of that team. Or the Patriots. You know what I mean.
Well, that's every year, the Patriots. I mean.
Right. But with that said, Colin, this show highlighted everything that I feel is of issue with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like,
yes.
What this show did was shine a light on everything that really rubs me the wrong way with what New Japan is doing right now. And again, it's not a lot, but when you have three of these shows and you have the never six-man titles on the line in the semi-main event, and you have Suzuki-Gun nonsense, and you have an undercard that was not only underwhelming, but just complete shoulder shruggy, why am I watching this? That you can't discount that. Like, you can't hand wave that. And you can't just turn your back on it and be like, well, they're having a fucking great year. No. That's not what we do.
The worst thing that you want to feel when you're watching any pro wrestling show, I don't care what it is, if it's New Japan, NXT, PWG, you don't want to feel like you're wasting your time.
Yep.
Like, why am I watching this? I could be doing 100 other things right now. And that's the way I felt when I was watching this show. And I think that's the way you felt when you were watching this show. And if somebody asked me to basically sum up what happened, I would say, Suzuki beat Elgin with the Gosh pile driver. There was a bunch of shenanigans, a bunch of undercard tag matches. That's about it.
I'll tell you how it's summed up. This show is summed up in one spot. This show was Izuka eating Taguchi's ass.
We had an ass-eating spot on this show, folks.
That was this show in a nutshell. Like, that was just, like, so fitting for this show. And the match that we were so hyped for, and the match that we were so into on paper, Ishii, Will Ospreay, looking adorable, by the way, in his little cat.
I was going to say, didn't Will Ospreay look cute?
He did look cute. I'm not going to lie. If I was a 14-year-old girl, I'd be all dreamy-eyed. Oh,
I'd be swooning.
Yeah, I'd be all dreamy-eyed over that thing. What it reminded me of in some weird way? You remember Superbad, the movie?
I never saw it.
You never saw Superbad?
No.
Really?
Not
McLovin? No?
Not on my radar.
Why?
Not up my alley.
You don't what? Really? You don't like the Seth Rogen? I would think you would love the Seth Rogen.
You know what? I probably would enjoy the movie if I saw it. I just never saw it.
Oh my god. Dude, I don't watch movies at all, and I've seen that movie 1,000 times. Wow, that's a revelation.
I don't watch a ton of comedies, believe it or not.
Mm.
I'm more of a serious, dramatic guy with my movies.
Anyway, for normal human beings who saw Superman.
Right. Pretty much. No, that's a fair assessment.
There's one scene where, you know what, I'm not even going to do the scene. You know this. Everybody, fuck it. No, it's worthless now because you don't know the fucking scene. So I'm just going to talk about the scene.
I killed the whole bit.
You killed my whole bit. But adorable Will Ospreay. Adorable Will Ospreay. Against our favorite, Ticking Time Bomb Takahashi. And Naito.
G1 Climax winner, Naito.
Yes, he's got his fresh new briefcase. It looks ready to go. He looks ready for business, ready for commerce. We were looking forward to that match, weren't we, Colin?
Oh, we sure were.
I think that was a little bit of a disappointment, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. I was thinking to myself as I was watching that, you know what, if this was in front of an American indie pro wrestling audience, like in an ROH or a PWG, oh my god, this could be like blow away. But they didn't really do anything in this match.
I think Ospreay and Takahashi, you know, the speed in which they work is always, it will always get you on the edge of your chair.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't really think it was anything to write home about.
Yeah, when they started it off, like it was good. But
right, and we were begging for something by that point.
Yeah.
By that point, we were just give me fucking something. And they started out hot, and you're like, okay, here we go. This is where how it felt was this show before intermission was just by regular standard pro wrestling grading, you would probably say this is an okay show. Like if you took every bit of pro wrestling across the world and said, okay, before intermission, where does this stack up? You'd probably be like, it's all right.
Oh yeah. If you did like a week in pro wrestling and you just showed, you know, all the various promotions, you know, this would be okay on there.
Yep. Now from a New Japan standard, you're probably looking at, you're probably really squinting and shaking your head and thinking, this is definitely skippable. There's nothing here to say.
This was a spot show with two title matches, two undercard title matches.
Right. And you're thinking and you're hoping that they're going to turn the corner, which they usually do, right? They usually do. You know, when they come back from intermission, you know, usually it picks up and you're going to get a couple good nuggets out of there. Truth be told, I'm going to tell you right now that I really only think that there was really one decent match. Let me take that back because I'm being a little bit too harsh. One very good match, and I thought Elgin and Suzuki was very good.
I thought it was good.
I don't think it was great. Yeah, I don't think it was great. Listen, I'm being really. I'm stretching out my verys. Like they're just making the very. By the way, I thought there was plenty of just ridiculous nonsense.
Tons of smoke and mirrors. Brawling on the outside within the guardrails. Just everything that we despise about Suzuki Goon matches.
And everything that we didn't want. And then in the middle of the week when they announced it was going to be a lumberjack match.
I got a kick out of that.
Colin texted me and he's like, it's like they listened and said, let's fuck over this show.
Yeah, fuck you guys. Yep. Lumberjack death match, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Name me a great lumberjack match.
Oh God. There was Big Daddy Cool Diesel versus King Mabel SummerSlam 95. And I remember that because it was on my birthday.
Wow.
And we ordered the pay-per-view for my birthday. Don't ask me how old I was.
Wow. Holy shit. Look at that with the memory.
Yeah, and I was really, really mad at Razor Ramon because he was beating up on Sean so bad in that ladder match. I was very distraught.
I can't name a good ladder or a good
lumberjack
because they're all the same. They're literally every one of them is the same where, you know, the face gets thrown over to the heel side. The heels lump them up.
They're designed for nights off, really, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the same cookie cutter pattern of every lumberjack match. If you've seen one lumberjack match, you've seen them all. I really feel that way. And this was no different. And again, I'm not knocking Michael Elgin because I think the world of him. And I'm not knocking Suzuki because I still think he's having a fantastic year given all of his nonsense with Suzuki. With that said, this match was destined to fail.
And it really was.
It didn't fail. It failed in the sense of this was not your standard New Japan main event.
No, you know? it was tainted. It was tainted by this bullshit lumberjack deathmatch stipulation that didn't need to be in there and didn't accomplish anything except to make people look foolish.
And then Azuka being involved in the fucking finish.
Oh, with the iron claw. And then Elgin hits the gotch, or excuse me, Suzuki hits the gotch pile driver, and that's it.
We were texting, Mike. Me and Eric went to the bar the other night. Or last night, before the show. And he hadn't even gotten to the arena yet. And we were just going back and forth, bullshitting. And, you know, it's weird because, like, the guys don't know a lot about what the night will be like, right? Like, they won't know.
It sounds like you, David.
It's really true. It's very accurate, actually. But they won't know. Like, you would think that they would be clued in, like, 2 weeks, like, you're winning the Never Belt, right? Oh, like, I mean, I don't think I'm letting a cat out of a bag here, but they really don't know, like, until they physically get to the arena. And I kind of like that.
I like that, too. It's almost more sporty.
Yeah, I kind of like that, but still, I just think it is kind of weird in this day and age. Wouldn't you think that it would clue guys in just for booking purposes? Like, I'm going to need you for...
Right. So so they have some sort of an idea what the rest of their year looks like. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, like, Eric was talking to another guy that everybody knows that, like you know, they don't even know if they're on the Dome show. Like, they don't even know.
You know what I was thinking after this match? I was thinking, boy, I don't know if Elgin's on the Dome show.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. So, like, even when we speculate about shit, like, I just think it's funny that we, you know, they don't even really fucking know.
2 year in a row, New Japan Rumble winner we're looking at.
Is that what it is? That's what you're going
with? My God. Boy, and it's frustrating because, like you were saying, Michael Elgin, goddamn, the year that he's had, the matches against Omega, the match against Naito, back in February was a great match. He's the match with Okada during the G1. Just what a fantastic year Michael Elgin has been having, and Suzuki's been having a very good year as well. Both matches with Okada, I think that he had a good, he had a pretty memorable G1. So for them to be headlining the show in this lumberjack match that really didn't do anything to serve either of them, in my opinion.
I'm not gonna lie. What it did was it just got Suzuki-Goon over as being dicks, and
we knew that though.
Right, and that's established, right? And how is that really going to help you guys in the long run? My other points, you know, it's like you're again. This is we're spreading out these three destruction shows, and we're headlining this first show with all the Never stuff. And I hate to say it, but the Never stuff is meaningless at this point. Like the Never six man titles, where everybody's kind of like, okay, this is a fun belt, and let's flip flop it, and you know, let's just fucking, hey, it is what it is, and we're just casual belt carriers and blah blah blah. Okay, but this is what happens. Like when you try to main event this fucking show with or semi main event with a tag title defense. And here's the thing, it really wasn't about the tag titles, right? This was about Evil standing over Okada, right? And this was about Bushi getting a win, and Sanada. By the way, that I love Sanada. Don't get me wrong.
Me too. Right?
That move where he wraps somebody up like a pretzel.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you. It is the most embarrassing thing in pro wrestling right now.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like who did he do that to? Romero or Yano? Okay.
Well, first Yano's in the ropes, right? Like he had it tied in the ropes, and I promise you, I could have gotten out of that. You know what I mean? Like all you had to do was just wiggle your foot. I mean, it was just like, and they kept showing Yano, and I'm just like, please get the camera off of him because it's really fucking bothering me at this point.
So are we supposed to believe that that little twist him into a pretzel move that Sonata does? Like, is that supposed to be some sort of like immobilizing shoot hold
yes.
that he can just put anybody in and they're stuck?
Yes, literally. Stuck in time, yeah.
Well, it looks silly.
It does. It really does look silly. It's like you can't move your foot. Like you, I'd like, come on. I don't know that. It's really. It's gotten to the point where it's almost.
We need to do a MythBusters on this, on the Sonata pretzel hold.
Yeah, I'm just. I mean, listen. I'm sure there's some legitimacy to it somewhere, but like the way that it was, like again, Yano could have just. All he had to do was like move his ass a little bit, and he could have fucking. I don't know. It was just silliness. All right. So I guess we got to go head to shoulder or shoulders, toes, and knees.
We're going to start at the beginning of the card is what you're
saying. That's what we're going to do. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Colin. Let's start there. Listen, we're going to give our honest thoughts. I'm sorry. If you want positivity, I'll try and shovel some in there somewhere.
A lot of this isn't even going to be overtly negative necessarily. It's just going to be sort of like dry.
Right, that's what I'm fearful of. Like it's. I don't even think it's going to be a shitting on it so much as it's going to be more of, yeah.
You know, yeah, this was there. That happened.
Right. This is our 100th fucking show, Colin.
I know, and what a show to review on our 100th episode.
I know. I wanted some confetti. I wanted some fucking streamers. Where are the girls?
Listen. September. Time goes fast, as you know. We're going to be through September in the blink of an eye, and we're going to be on the road to King of Pro Wrestling, which is always a great show, let's be honest. One of my I was talking about this last week, one of my favorite shows of the year, really. So we're going to be there before you know it. We got Evil versus Okada to look forward to, which is going to be a great match. Naito versus Ishii, which those two always deliver a great match. So there is a light at the end of this tunnel here as we enter the fall and... start on our journey to the Tokyo Dome. So first match here from Destruction in Fukushima. Yuji Nagata and Kawato teamed up with Nakanishi and Umino. Boy, you know what struck me funny in this match when
what's up?
Nakanishi did a big splash and like I was thinking to myself, boy, is that you know, he does look like he's put on a few pounds maybe.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a new finisher for Nakanishi, like the big splash.
Oh, like a big, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think like the knees and the hips are getting a little tired of lifting and, you know, getting them up into the rack.
Right.
I thought this match, and considering who was in here, I mean, you got two young kids in here, two veterans, mind you, and it wasn't like they did anything super duper complex, right?
Oh, super basic stuff, you know?
But I thought it was good. And now the reason why I said that is this. Because not only were there a lot of matches here that were, okay, great. there were a lot of – it just seemed like a lot of matches, guys were out of place and out of sync, and they were missing stuff, and they just weren't on the same page, right, in a lot of matches on this show. And maybe I was just being a little bit too critiquey, but it really stuck out like a sore thumb for me. But in this match, I don't think that was the case, right? So I have to give them full marks because in an opening match, and again, they're not doing anything super complex, but it was basic, but it was solid. So I got to tip my cap to them on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the Young Lion action that we did see in this match, again, nothing out of this world, but solid, basic, good, fine little near 6-minute opener that we saw here. I don't know. For some reason, I was transfixed on Akanishi in this match because, like, he looked like he was in like a weird shape, like not ring shape. Like, it looked like it looked to me like he hadn't been in there in a while, you know? Perhaps some ring rust.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't. I think at that age, you're kind of, trust me, I know, like you just, you know, things happen and you that are unexplainable to your body. So, no, I mean, I think this was a 6 minutes at most.
Yeah, 6 minutes. Nagata picks up the win for his team with the Nagata lock on Umino.
And I will say this too. The crowd.
The crowd was the shits on this show.
I'm glad you said it because I felt the same thing, man. I hate knocking crowds. Like I hate it's to me it's the show's responsibility to get people fired up, right? I can't blame a crowd. A crowd is going to react to what's going on. I truly believe that.
Damon, but this crowd didn't even sing the Kaze ni Nare.
Yeah.
And Suzuki's theme, like they didn't even, I didn't even, like when you don't hear a response from that, like you know that this is an off crowd, boy.
Yeah, it didn't sound like they were ready to have a good time.
No.
Right? Yeah. And I think this, I really noticed it in this match less than most others. Now, again, the usual ones where it's like, you know, like the triple threat tag title match. I mean, that one, historically, going into it, you're going to get a crowd. They're not going to respond as much as in the others. But I think I even feel the same way for the title match. I kind of felt the same way with the juice match, with the tag match, which, oh, my God.
Leo Tonga. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Don't worry. Don't worry.
All right. But, yeah, I think the crowd left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, fine little 5-minute opening Young Lion veteran tag match, and we move on to the Young Lions versus the veterans with the team of Oka and Kitamura versus Goto and Yoshihashi. I think that I like this match probably better than the opening Young Lion match, and I think Damon, I'm more of an Oka Kitamura guy, and I think that you prefer Kawato and Umino. Is that a correct assessment?
It is, but I do like them as a tag team a lot.
Yes,
like I like it when them two get together, and I would be shocked if we don't see them as a team to lose in World Tag League.
I hope we do. I really hope we do.
Me too, because there's something there. Look, they are some big kids, number one.
Yeah, they are. Man, Kitamura, just a big, jacked-up guy who's going to throw people around. I mean, I want to see that.
And again, they're young, and they're in their infancy. But the similarities to me, and I don't know how much you've watched of Bodyguard and Zeus in All Japan, but it does kind of give me that same kind of feel. So again, I think you're looking at a future tag team champion if they keep them two together. I really do, and I think they should. I like those two together. I think they fit well. They have a good look together, and I think it's a no-brainer for me anyway to keep those guys kind of paired together as much as they can. And again, they have to go on excursion, but they don't have to go on excursion. But more than likely, they're going to go on an excursion. I don't know. I just think that those two are two peas in a pod. They look good together.
Yeah. They could be future HWI tag team champions. Maybe that's where they could send them on excursion. The HWI territory.
We'll bring them to the Mount Laurel, New Jersey promotion, the territory, the South Jersey promotion.
Yeah. Plenty they can learn there. Learn that Northeast style, that Northeast indie style.
I'll give them that Philly style. Yeah.
Seriously, though, yeah, I really do hope that they keep Oka and Kitamura together. I think that there's something special about the both of them together. They're always a pleasure to watch in the ring. But this match was about them getting their asses kicked by Chief Jay and Yoshihashi. Goto picking up the win for his team, getting the cover on Oka. I enjoyed this for what it was. Again, I thought that it was better than the opening Young Lion match.
You think we're going to see Goto Yoshihashi in World Tag League?
I hope not. I mean, listen,
what are we going to do with Goto? Can I ask a question? What are we going to do with Goto?
Well,
there's a lot of our listeners that are really high on Goto, but I think everybody's got to admit, right now Goto is in a rut.
I was high on Goto for a while there too, but right now he is just in probably the worst shape that he's been in quite a long time, and like
physically?
Not
pecking order.
Not physically, just pecking order and just the level of excitement. I think you summed it up not too long ago when you were at that ROH show, I guess it was, and like Goto had a table and nobody was there.
Yeah.
And you were just kind of hanging out by it. Goto feels just drier than he's ever felt before. And I don't think that the answer is a Goto Yoshihashi tag team, because I mean, you're going to pair Goto with another guy who's, you know, on that same level now, I think. And Goto,
and that's a shame, because everybody's tried. I think they've tried with Yoshihashi, right?
Yeah, they really did. I mean, Yoshihashi was probably at his hottest after that Omega victory from last year's G1.
Yeah, and then he headlined the show.
Was it a Destruction show?
You might be right.
Yeah, I think it was Yoshihashi and Omega. They headlined the Destruction show. And like after that, that was it for Yoshihashi.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that these are the shows that help us, like they even had it in the promo video. It was like, what did it say? It was like Destruction brings future or something like that. So I get that these shows are there to highlight some of those lesser pushed guys throughout the year, right?
So Goto gets highlighted by beating a Young Lion.
Right. Yeah. Huh. Do we know what Goto has for the rest of these shows?
Do we know what Goto has for the rest of these shows? Well, I can tell you what he has next weekend in Hiroshima.
Do you have that in front of you? I know I
put it. Oh my god. Okay, so Goto's on the first match of
the
card.
Holy shit, really?
He's in an opening 6-man tag, so get a load of this. It's going to be Tiger Mask, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tenzan taking on Jado, Yoshihashi, and Hiroki Goto.
Wow.
And when you're in that Jado area, that's where things things start to get a bit choppy. Oh, Lord.
Sorry, I'm taking a drink for the working man there.
Yeah. Swig of Gatorade.
Yeah, swig of Gatorade for the working man. Wow, that's fucked up. Goto's in a bad way, guys.
Yeah.
Huh.
There was a time when Goto held the second most prestigious title in New Japan, and he beat one of the big four two times in a row to do it.
Hey, look, Michael Elgin held that same fucking title.
Yes, he did.
He's getting whacked with an iron claw from a jerk off his
hoop. Yeah, that did happen.
And so, you know, that's kind of like, you know, winning the best new artist Grammy, right?
but think about it though. Goto, you saw him capture the IC title from Nakamura, right? In May. Then he had a match with him at Dominion.
Yep.
Like Goto was, you know, holding the second biggest title, IC champion, beating one of the top guys, and now he's teaming with Jado on opening 6-man tag matches.
Goto was in the mix. not long ago.
Yeah,
he
go,
is not
exactly
in the mix right
now. That's what I'm trying to say in so many words. Goto was in the mix. Now he's not.
Yeah,
and it's distressing. It's sad.
Well, I mean, look, there's only so many spots, right? There's only so many. There's only so many days in a year.
I wonder if Goto cares as much as we do, and the fan. Like, think about that. Like, does Goto give as much of a shit?
I would say I'm going to go with a yes, and here's why.
Okay.
If you're at that level in any type of athletics, I would think that there is that competitive drive. Listen, I'm not in it, right? I'm not waking my ass up at 5 o'clock in the morning and lifting weights. I'm not running on a treadmill 50 miles, whatever the fuck he's. You know what I mean?
What like, are you doing, damn it?
Fucking nothing.
Besides boozing.
I'm slowly just chipping away at life.
Aren't we all though?
Yeah. So I get that. I don't get that. That's the thing.
Neither do I.
But he's, you know, again, there's only so many days in the year, and there's only so many people that can be pushed at one time. You can't push everybody, because if you're pushing everybody, then the people that you're trying to push, you know, everything becomes devalued. But yeah, it is telling that two of these shows, and again, these aren't invasion attack. And again, I'm not fucking trying to make excuses. And I'll say again one more time, it is what it is. And Goto right now is first match, second match, and that's alarming to me.
Yeah, when you're in the world title mix with Okada, and then you're opening up the card, yeah, that's got to be that's got to hit you on some level. So,
on a personal level, you think? You think on a professional level?
And, I mean, it would have to. You know, you're headlining Sumo Hall with Okada,
right?
And then one day you're with Jado on the open. You know, it all goes back to Jado.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the common denominator.
I mean, Jado is like on the opposite spectrum from Okada, is he not?
Right. I would say.
Like,
yeah.
Okada's at one end, and then Jado's at the other. That's where it begins and ends.
Yeah. I'd be curious as to what people think about how do you rehabilitate a Goto?
We've been asking this question for like 2 years, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we really haven't gotten a great answer from anyone. Yeah. No, no. All right. It is what it is. All right.
We asked Kevin Kelly that question. He didn't have an answer.
Nah. He doesn't have an answer where I can get Wrestle Kingdom tickets either.
I think he'll be there, though.
Yeah, he'll be there. I don't care about that. I care about me being
there. All right. So Goto picks up the win over Oka. You know, match was what it was. Up next, Beretta and Jado taking on Yujiro Takahashi and Chase Owens. Damon, do you remember that that impassioned speech that one Rocky Romero gave to Beretta and said, look, it's time for you, big guy, to go out there on your own, enter the heavyweight division? I don't think what he had in mind was teaming with Jado.
I told you, though, we're going to start slow. It's going to be a slow burn.
But we didn't just start slow, though. We went backwards.
Nah.
Yeah, we went backwards.
We're starting slow. He's not going to get a singles match out of the gate. He's in a tag.
Put him in a tag with another heavyweight.
Right.
Do everything you can to distinguish him from the juniors. Get over the fact that, he is a heavyweight now.
Well, again, they did. So if you look at that team, right, it's... Who's the junior on the other side?
Chase Owens.
Okay, right. Who's the junior on Trent's side? Not Trent anymore.
Right. Jado. I know. He's the leader of the group. I know.
Right. Number one. Again, he's the heavyweight. Two, he didn't take the fall, right? He didn't take the fall.
Right, no, and look, this isn't like a major gripe or anything like that. I just would have stuck him in with other heavyweights somewhere. That's all.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with who he was in the. Well, I mean, I do have a problem with who he was in the ring
sure
with, but not
do.
The fact that. But not the fact that it would, like I like the fact that they said, okay, you're the heavyweight, you're tagging with the junior, just you know, like every other fucking New Japan tag match. It seems like he didn't take the fall, which is again. That's good, right?
Yeah, Jado took the fall.
Yes.
Which is who should be taking the fall.
And I think that, you know, I think Beretta looked good in his time in there. I am kind of over the old guy gets knocked to the floor and can't get up for 20 minutes. You know, with, you know what I mean? That, like,
well,
that
listen,
whole
it's
thing.
A concrete floor. The padding's very thin.
Right.
You know, right. You take a nasty spill on there, you'll be down for a while.
Yeah, okay. But with that said, I think that it's a decent enough showing for Beretta.
Why not have Beretta win, though? Like, what are we trying to get Yujiro over here? Because he's the one who picked up the fall.
Right. The heavyweight.
Right.
Over the junior.
Right. So you could have easily had the heavyweight on one side pick up the win over the junior on the other side.
But he just became, again, we're talking as if we're pro wrestling fans, and I put that in the air quotes. If Trent just became a heavyweight, he doesn't have the experience or the moxie or the wherewithal or the strength or whatever you want to say, right, to beat the heavyweight on the other side who's been a heavyweight for quite a while.
He's as big as Andre the Giant.
Right. But maybe it's experience. Maybe it's just cunning. Maybe it's, you know, chalking it up to that. Right. So Trent didn't have enough to pin the junior on the other side because the heavyweight on the other side had more experience to and strength and whatever to beat the junior on his side. Does that make any fucking sense?
Oh, sure. It makes sense. But I don't know. It just sounds like. I want to throw Beretta right into the frying pan, and I guess maybe I shouldn't be, you know, I should have it all goes back to our mantra here on the show. All you need is just a little patience.
Yeah, and again, as I said last week, that's going to be a tough thing because there are going to be moments where he's losing the people that you're thinking, why in the fuck is this guy losing to that guy? Just the way it's the New Japan slow burn, and just know that good things are around the corner.
All right, next match, we've got the team of Juice Robinson and David Finlay taking on Bad Luck Fale and filling in for an injured Kenneth Omega, who's had surgery on his meniscus, I believe.
Whoa, he had surgery?
Yeah, he had
surgery.
Or was
he just rehabbing it? Are you sure he had surgery?
I'm pretty sure that he had. I'm almost positive I heard that on Observer Radio. I heard Dave talking about it. Either way, he's out until the 24th.
Okay, but here's why I'm the only reason why I'm like, okay, so 24th, we have like 10, 12 days?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, surgery. Like, how major of a surgery was it?
Listen, that's what I heard Dave say, and apparently this has been an injury that's kind of been nagging him for a while. It's not something that just like happened.
All right, but I guess my point, Colin, is that when we start talking about surgery, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the main reason why Tanahashi never got his surgery on his bicep, because the recuperation time is much higher. Right? Once you talk – like, so you can have an injury. And when you go into the surgery world, right, you're saying, okay, I'm going to be out X months or X weeks. Right?
Yeah, he did have meniscus surgery.
Wow. I don't know how serious that means. Like, what – I mean, I'm asking you like you're a fucking surgeon.
And by the way, that was from the September 7th edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, where Dave talks about that.
Okay, I did not hear that.
Yep.
Particular episode. Okay, so maybe he had it earlier. I mean, I don't know, man. When you get into, I don't know the severity of that. I don't know if that's just going in and cleaning stuff up. I don't know what the recuperation time on something like that is. But the minute you said surgery. My eyes lit up like, holy fuck, that's not good.
No, listen, I thought the same thing when I was listening to The Observer, because in my mind I was like, oh man, well he's out then, you know, we're not going to see that Juice match. But no, they were talking about it like it's still happening. He's returning on the 24th in Kobe. Listen, I'm not a surgeon. I don't know anything about a meniscus tear or meniscus surgery. I have no idea what the recovery time from that is. All I know is that he is reported to be back on the 24th.
Okay. All right. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed for that.
But anyway, taking his place in this match, where I was getting to, is Leo Tonga. We have another one of Haku's sons, who is
can one of Haku's sons just work in a fucking shop?
Yeah, right? be like an accountant or
a carpenter. Does every one of his fucking family members have to be in the goddamn pro wrestling?
We're working a car dealership, you know,
something
like that. But no, Leo Tonga, who is every bit of 6'8". I mean, this guy, boy, I was thinking to myself, God, I hope Vince McMahon doesn't have New Japan World, because if he got a load of this guy, he'd be like, damn it, Paul, I want him on Raw tomorrow.
He was big. He is big. I mean, was.
He is a big boy, a big 6'8".
He towered over Fale.
Yeah, he did. And
fucking towered over.
Yeah. Yeah, Leo
he
Tonga.
Sucked.
Yeah, very, very green. Not good.
This match, arguably, I think will go down at least in the top three worst New Japan matches of the year.
Probably.
I mean, I think I'm comfortable in saying, and again, I'm saying this with the full knowledge of what is his name?
Leo Tonga.
Well, he was put in a position and put in a match where, you know, he was completely out of his league, and that's okay, because, you know, he doesn't have the years of experience. He doesn't have I don't know what experience he really has, and it's obviously not on a stage that big. So I give him props for, hey, you know what, he went out there and he did it. Good for him. This was one of the worst matches I've seen in New Japan in quite some time. And I'll go so far as to say it has to be in the top three worst matches this year, right?
Yeah.
Can you really, off the top of your head, think of a worse match?
I'm sure that there have been matches that have been, like undercard tag matches that have been in the same ballpark.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't think you're really passionate that this is probably one of the top three worst matches of the year?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I mean, it was just there.
I think it's beyond there. It's on the other side. It's on the flip side of just there. I can't just sit there and say this was there. No, this was a match that we were just like, holy moly.
What if I said to you, maybe we should have a little patience with this Leo Tonga here? And
I'm not blaming. I'm not saying, you know, fucking kick him to the curb. I'm not saying, you know, he should be banned from the sport. I'm not saying.
They put him in a big position right away.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly right. I'm going to make sure that that's clear here.
I mean, he's filling in for Kenny Omega, the second best wrestler in the world, arguably. He's in that big Bullet Club slot.
Yes.
He's, you know, fourth match on the card.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a big position to put a big old green guy in, you know?
100% agree. And I would not knock a guy with all that on his shoulders, right? But if I'm saying, from a match quality perspective, this was bottom of the barrel stuff.
I'm texting Vince McMahon a photo of Leo Tonga right now.
But I will say this, though, he does have that look, right? He is a big boy. And again, this comes with experience, maybe this comes with more training, maybe this comes with more years under his belt. But he did look lost. He did look like a deer in headlights more than once. He looked like he couldn't get out of his own way. It wasn't like he was Kurt Angle in there. Right?
No, he was not.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like he was. Like all the young lions, I think, are in a better spot than him.
Yeah.
Right. Now, again, I don't know what training is. I'm sure he did. They just didn't pull him off the car lot and say, you know.
Maybe that's what Haku did. He's like, here's how you take a bump.
I mean, I haven't Wikipedia'd him yet. Maybe we should do that. Maybe you should Wikipedia him and read off some of his
stats.
Yeah, some of his stats and maybe some of his training, maybe some of his experience, how many years, all that stuff. I don't have that readily in front of me right now. But I will say this, that the match that I saw, and again, This is probably his biggest match to date. I think I'm safe to guess. Big spotlight. I'm sure the butterflies were there, and I'm sure they tried to get him in and out as quickly as possible. They didn't want to expose the poor kid.
And he's only 27 years old, by the way.
Okay.
So he's a young guy still, you know? There's a lot to work with there, I think.
27's not that young.
In pro wrestling years, probably not, but...
Right. I mean, listen, there's... Young guy in general, but yeah, in pro wrestling years, not that young.
Do I have to tell you the story of Diamond Dallas Page, Damon, to...
What? Oh, you're giving me DDP?
Yeah, you know how he started when he was 40 or something ridiculous like that. Anyway.
That's right. Okay. Do you got any background on this kid?
Just that he's 27 years old. He's the younger brother of Tama Tonga and Tongaloa. There's information about him is scarce. He has training experience with Team 3D Academy and the Fale Dojo. So that's where the bulk of his training comes from.
Right. I mean, I'm going to be brutally honest. I don't know dick all about him. I don't know how many matches he has under his belt. Again, I'm sure this is a big spotlight for the kid, and good for him for taking it. But ooh wee.
Yeah, and he is a legit 6'8". So, you know. Again, big spot for him to be in. I kind of question that decision by New Japan. I think there's somebody that could have stepped in for Kenny Omega. You know, I don't think that he had to be put in that position right away. But hey, you know, it is what it is. He's there now. It happened. Not a great first showing, but we'll see what happens in the future with this kid.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Juice Robinson picking up the win here, though, hitting the pulp friction on Leo Tonga. And we hopefully move towards Juice versus Kenny in Kobe. You know, a lot of people, I was kind of glancing on Reddit there when I was confirming that Kenny had surgery. And a lot of people are saying, geez, coming back that soon from a meniscus tear?
Right.
All right.
Right. I mean, listen, I come from a little bit of a sports background in the reporting and the shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of familiar when it comes to injuries. And again, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it's still like one of those things where it's like, you know, in my experience, the minute a press release is released, you know, with a player that's injured to that, again, surgery being the key. When you hear fucking surgery, that's nothing to dick around with. I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to be very truthful. I can't imagine him being back this quick. If you told me he was rehabbing that, right? If you told me that he was, you know, he was Tanahashi-ing it, as we'll call it, right? If you said that to me, I would be like, okay, he's going to work hurt. He's going to do what, you know, what pro wrestlers do. He's going to tape it up and, you know, get through it.
I think I'll find a workaround for it. I really do.
But surgery, there is no workaround. That's what I'm questioning. Like, what's the workaround for surgery? You can only tape something up so fucking much. There's only like when the surgery, the repair job that is required on a surgery. That's that. I don't see it.
What if he's able to recover like 50% even? Do you think that he could work at 50% post surgery?
I guess
it would have to be a very different Kenny Omega match, and I don't really think that that's what people want.
That's you nailed it right there.
I mean, we have a certain expectation as to what Juice versus Omega 2 is going to look like.
Yes.
And now that expectation is kind of questionable.
It's got to be tempered. We got to dial that back.
Yeah, better dial that back from an 11 to 7.5.
Look, I think I would be very surprised. Again, I would be very surprised if we saw this match actually take place. One, but if it is taking place, I would say. We're getting t-shirt Kenny.
Yeah, black t-shirt, boot tassels Kenny.
And I can't blame the guy for it.
Well, he could kind of turn that into the story of the match. Like, he's not taking Juice seriously.
Maybe.
Kind of what
not.
He did with, who did he do that with? Kojima.
Yeah.
From the G1.
Possibly. But I'm really thinking that you're not going, we have to absolutely dial back some. Now watch him fucking blast everything.
Yeah, I know, right? he'll do the Phoenix Splash. And
right. Just shuts me the fuck up.
50 Snapdragons.
Yeah. We'll see. I guess we'll see. We only got a couple days ago, about a week to go, so we'll find out soon enough.
Oh, this next tag match, Damon. Jesus. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Togi Makabe, Kushida, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Ricochet.
Yeah.
Versus Iizuka, Taka Michinoku, El Desperado, Kanemaru, and Taichi. Oh boy. Okay. First of all, Kanemaru has got a leather jacket on. And I made a mental note of that. Even Kanemaru has a leather jacket.
See? One of these days, Colin.
If I want to be as cool as Kanemaru.
You know what today is?
What's that?
Today's the first day of the National Football League here in the United States. And that is really
that?
It's this huge conglomerate that officially means for us here in the U.S. It's fall. So you better get on this fucking jacket kick real quick.
I know.
Real quick. Your time's running out.
I know. I have to go to the outlets. Anyway.
Yes.
Oh, God. This match.
Go ahead.
All right. So let's kind of take a look.
Break it down. There's plenty to unpack here, Colin.
Well, there's a lot to unpack here. So this is building to a couple different things here, right? It's building, number one, towards the junior heavyweight title match between Kushida and El Desperado. Okay. So we've got that to build to. That's happening next week. Another thing. What else do we have happening next week?
Well, Tanahashi is in the mix with
Tanahashi's in the mix with Zach. And we've also got Ricochet and Taguchi versus Taichi and Kanemaru. So we're building towards next week. Two things that are going to happen in Hiroshima next week, right?
Okay.
Did this match do anything to get you pumped for either of those two matches?
No. And fair truth, being said, I can't say that many of those matches I was particularly pumped for out of the gate to begin with, right?
Right.
So you're already behind the eight ball with me when it comes to Kushida and El Desperado and anything with the junior tag straps. It's hard for me to get too pumped up over it. To begin with already.
Man, nothing says a spot show main event than like Kushida defending against El Desperado. I mean, that's just we've got to have a title defense on this card, so.
I don't think that's going to be a bad match.
No, it's not going to be a bad match at all. I mean, El Desperado, some would argue that he actually had a pretty darn good Best of the Super Juniors showing this past year. But with that being said, I mean, I don't really care about this. There's nothing in this match that suggests to me that El Desperado has any shot in hell at walking
really
away his chance. Yeah.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Are they going to put the title on El Desperado for like a spell, as they say?
Listen, I would not be surprised. Look, we didn't see eight. Again, I kind of look at. There were no title changes on this show. Right?
No.
I mean, what are we going to go through? We're going to go through two more shows without title changes?
I just don't see Kushida dropping the El Desperado.
It's the junior belt.
Yeah, your favorite title.
I hate to be the guy, but I don't think it really... Giving El Desperado the title is not going to devalue the title. El Desperado is not one of my favorite fucking guys, but...
I don't particularly like to play hot potato with the junior heavyweight title, though.
Yeah, but it would only... So who's held this title this year? Takahashi went through a tear in the beginning of the year.
Takahashi, right? And Kushida.
Kushida. All right, so it's not hot potato.
Yeah, I know, but just putting it on El Desperado right now, I don't know. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Again, El Desperado doesn't do a lot for me, but I could see them absolutely doing it.
Listen. They'll have a good match, but case in point, I'm not that stoked for it.
A scale of 1 to 10.
Like a 5.
Yeah, probably 5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah, 5, 6 if you're being generous. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a fine match, but, you know, it's just there. That's like the theme of this month. Things are just kind of there. we're just kind of simmering here on the back burner until King of Pro Wrestling. And
is that match on the show coming up?
Yeah, next Saturday in Hiroshima.
Give me the main event for that show.
The main event for that show is the IC title match with Tanahashi and Zach.
Okay.
Which I am looking forward to that.
That's going to be good.
Very much right? So.
I mean, listen, we can only go up from here, right?
Well, hey, if you want to do a thing on that card where you have like a Suzuki Goon blowout, you know, I mean, have them walk away victorious. You know, you could have El Desperado win the junior title. Zach have the IC title. Suzuki's got the never title. No, you don't
want
to do that.
I don't want Zach. And I like Zach. I don't think Zach is your IC champion. You know what I mean? I don't think that's happening.
Damon, by the way, just kind of skimming through this card here.
Yeah.
I noticed something quite interesting.
Uh-oh.
Which I did not know.
What's that? We are
going to see a rematch for the IWGP tag titles. The match that we saw earlier this morning.
Yeah.
War Machine versus G.O.D. versus KES scheduled for next week.
Isn't that crazy?
Why? That happened. I think that the same, we were talking about the same damn thing last year at this time. I thought that I like misread the card, but then I was like, oh no, they're doing this 2 weeks in a row. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Listen, I think we're going to see a title change next week, but.
Okay. KES?
Yeah, KES. And you know what? I'm on the old Desperado train now. Yeah, let's have him win the title. Let's have Zach become IC champion.
Wow!
For like the last
Suzuki Goon.
Yeah, for the last half of the year, fuck it, let's Suzuki Goon the shit out of the rest of this year. Let's
Why
do
would
it.
You do this? No, I don't want this. No, I mean,
well,
listen,
maybe that won't happen.
We complained for fucking an hour about Suzuki Goon nonsense.
I know. In all seriousness, I wouldn't mind seeing Zach hold the IC title, but anyway, getting back. Mm-hmm. To the match at hand. What did you think of this 10? Did this 10-man tag do anything for you?
Kind
of made me angry
really.
A little bit.
I thought it was a bit of a clusterfuck, to be honest with you.
That's the word for it.
Yeah. And again, we said this a lot last week about how things could either be really good or just a complete clusterfuck. And this was a bit of a clusterfuck. And listen, I don't... We called it the ass-eating spot.
But, that's what it was. The ass-biting spot, ass-eating spot, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, listen. You know, was one of those things where you just...
Don't knock
you,
it.
you just sit back in your chair and you think, pro wrestling in 2017, and when we're biting asses. A lot of comedy, a lot of... It felt like they tried to work an American style match.
They really, yes, I
and
felt
it, and it couldn't pull it. They did not pull it off very well.
I felt like I was watching like Survivor Series '93, and I'm watching like one of the little doinks bite the posterior of Sebastian Booger. That's the vibe that this match gave me. Like really bad undercard Survivor Series early 90s match.
Yeah. There were moments where you're just like, where all four or five, or I don't even know how many Suzuki Goon members are that were in the match are like quadruple teaming a guy. And the other team members are just standing there watching them beat the shit out.
Damon, they don't want to get DQ'd. Come on.
Like, I'm just sitting here looking at this, and I'm just like this is where you know, like...
Wouldn't that have been the greatest, though, if, like, they did interfere and the ref called for a DQ?
For the bell. But that, this is what happens. It's almost
amazing.
Like you book these poor guys into a corner, and it's like, you know, these guys can only do so much in a match to make this look as somewhat realistic as possible, right? You know, to suspend the disbelief just a little bit. And there was just so much going on and so much nonsense that what did you want from these poor guys? It was just too much. It was, again, it was 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. Just too much. Too much going on at once. Ugh, fuck it. Whatever.
Speaking of too much.
But that's the feeling I got with this. It was just like, you're just like, ugh, whatever. Bite asses. Do the same. And it's the same spots you see all the time. It's really starting to get on my nerves. Like, you just see the same things. Okay, yeah, okay, here comes the whole rounding third thing. And they did switch it up. I will say this. I did like when they would do that and everybody would hit Iizuka in the corner. But when Taguchi would come around, boop, boop would go up, right? And then they would go around again. Everybody get it in. Boop, boop, boop would go up. I did enjoy that. That was kind of fun. But, all right, look. It was there was a lot going on in this match, and none of it made much sense.
Before we get into the second half of the show here, I just wanted to mention really quick, in the match before this, I saw Fale came out with this new Bullet Club t-shirt. It said Boss Club, I think, and I thought it was kind of cool, and I was thinking to myself, boy, if I wanted to get my hands on one of them, where would I go? I don't want to go to Hot Topic, you know, because that's really not my type of clientele. Yeah. But like, if I wanted it delivered straight from my door, like from Japan,
yes,
I would probably get that from gaijincollectibles.com, would I not?
I would. Why wouldn't you? I mean, listen, you don't have to leave your house. That's perfect for you, right?
Oh, I hate leaving my fuck leaving the house.
Right. Listen, I put on pants to buy your Bullet Club t-shirt?
Oh, it's the worst.
Terrible. Leave your pants off. Relax. Go online, gaijincollectibles.com. You know it's coming from Japan, right? It's coming from the promotions themselves. And you don't have to put on your pants. How great is this?
Yeah, pants off, literally.
Pants off. So listen, take our advice. Take down your pants and look up Gaijin Collectibles for all your pro wrestling, Japanese pro wrestling needs. T-shirts, magazines, trading cards, the towels, the caps. They're all there. All the promotions. I can't recommend them high enough. GaijinCollectibles.com, kids. Leave your pants off. Go to GaijinCollectibles.com.
that should be the tagline. Yeah, it should. Leave your pants off.
Leave your pants off with GaijinCollectibles.com. Now, but in all seriousness, I can't believe you haven't used them yet for your pro wrestling wants and needs direct from Japan to your door. Use them. They're good people. GaijinCollectibles.com.
All right, so we want to stay on the theme of clusterfucks here as we make our way into the next match for the IWGP Tag Team titles. This was the three-way with War Machine defending against G.O.D. and K.E.S. And, boy, this could have been a good match if not for G.O.D.
Wow. This was a clusterfuck. This was a sloppy match, I thought. I thought lots of people were out of sync and out of time and out of position, and it just looked like nobody was on the same page for large segments of this match. I can't say that it was entirely entertaining. I can't say that I'm looking forward to the rematch. I can't say that G.O.D. did anything that was even remotely impressive. I would say War Machine did okay. I don't think this is one of their better performances.
I don't think KES did that great either.
I agree. So something was amiss in this match. Something was wrong. I don't know if it was that somebody was hurt. I don't know if somebody was in a bad mood. I don't know.
Davey Boy had jeans on. That was part of it.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I noticed that too. I was like, did he lose his gear? Did it get lost in luggage? Or, you know what? I don't. Yeah, he didn't really. He was wearing jeans. I did notice that. Something was off in this match, Colin. And again, we talk about that, the idea of having those triple threats, and they can be great, but they can also go off the rails at any time. And this is what happened here. I think there was, once again, too much trying to shovel in 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag, and that's tough to do. Trying to squeeze it in, would they give him like 10 minutes?
This went 11 minutes and 9 seconds actually. You know what they should have done instead of having this match twice, just have a number one contenders match on this card right here between yep. God and KES, and winner of that goes on to challenge War Machine in Hiroshima. Why not do that?
They're trying to get guys on shows. That's the only thing I can think of, Colin, at this point. They have three shows. They're going to get as many people as they can on these shows.
I know, but that can, you can still get guys on shows, though. Like, War Machine still could have been on this show in, like, a, you know, 10, 20-man tag. You know what I mean?
I know. I know.
These titles, these tag titles just don't feel like they mean anything.
Once again, and I said it at the top of the show, I feel like this show just highlighted all the negatives that I have about New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, and I haven't been thinking that way about the tag titles for a while because I've been digging this War Machine run, but this match here harkened back to that attitude of, oh, God, this tag division, you know, what's going on here? What's being accomplished here? I don't know.
And the challenge is right now, Colin, is that nothing has changed.
No, and it doesn't look like anything is going to change either.
Right, right. Like, what's on the horizon? Like, you know, all right, let's take G.O.D. out of the mix, right?
Right.
And let's not go with the junior shit, because we beat that fucking horse.
It's still on my mind, but...
I understand, but let's come up with a different option.
God, the Young Bucks versus War Machine in a New Japan ring.
Look.
Young Bucks versus KES.
We're not going there.
Oh
well, I want a different idea, because they're never going to do it.
Okay, right? All right. I've got other ideas.
No, so G.O.D. will take out of the picture. KES, well, here's the thing. Something's going to happen on this next show, right? You would think a title change would happen, right?
Right.
So the best case scenario is what? A rematch? Is that what we got to look forward to?
After next week's match?
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Whoever, like, okay, let's say, let's say KES wins.
You got a G.O.D. rematch in the future, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have World Tag League, right? Who are you looking at to win World Tag League?
That's a great question. I can tell you who I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to all the Matt Riddle, Jeff Cobb matches. But who do I think is going to win? Boy.
You got to think about who's not on the show, right? Who's in limbo, right?
I
not going to be an Omega.
GOD might win.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do.
I mean, you figure an Ishii's going to be in that mix somewhere, right?
You think
we see Ishii Goto finally?
I mean, we saw that last year. I hope we see it again this year. But you had mentioned that you had mentioned the Goto Yoshihashi team, and I'm kind of that got me thinking, maybe they're going, maybe that's what this was, a preview of that team, which I don't particularly. That's a geek tag team right there. I'm sorry. Hiroki.
How would you feel about Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi versus War Machine at Wrestle Kingdom?
I don't feel any particular way about it. I feel great about Goto and Ishii against War Machine at Wrestle Kingdom, but Goto and Yoshihashi, that's a geek tag team.
How about this tag team? How about Michael Elgin and Juice Robinson?
That's a cool tag team. I can get behind that.
Yeah? How about a Cody Rhodes Hangman Page?
That's not a bad tag team. It's not something that excites me. Yeah.
Of those three, which one do you like the best?
Of those three, and you had mentioned...
Now, here's the thing. I say Cody Rhodes knowing full well he's Ring of Honor heavyweight champion, so something
right,
would
right,
have
right.
to change.
Right, so Page is taking the fall every night.
Right. Okay, well, listen. We know. Cody Rhodes is not going to be in the World Tag League.
So who is it again? Cody Rhodes and Paige.
Right. I'm just saying, just as a
hypothetically.
Hypothetically,
Cody Rhodes and Paige. Goto
Juice and Elgin.
Juice and Elgin.
Goto Yoshihashi.
Probably Juice and Elgin.
Yeah.
It's not Goto and Yoshihashi. It's just, and nothing against Yoshihashi. I think he's a good wrestler, but I'm more interested right now in putting Hirooki Goto in a higher position, and sticking him with Yoshihashi, God bless him, isn't going to do that.
Well, if he's in a tag team, it's going to be with a Chaos guy.
Yeah, so and Ishii choices, is a Chaos guy.
Right. Those are your choices. Ishii or Yoshihashi at this point, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I wish it was, but...
Or you want Yano?
No, I don't want Yano. Although I think we're going to get Yano.
You think?
Yeah, I think Yano's going to be in the World Tag League for sure.
You think he's with Goto?
Do I think he's with Goto? No.
You think he's with Yoshihashi?
That would make more sense, a Yano-Yoshihashi tag team. That's kind of more fitting than Yoshihashi. Is that a bass guitar? What was that?
That was a motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, we have a Harley place that's like if you go up my street, and make a right, you'll go. There's a Harley place right down the street. So every, like, when the weather turns, if it's a nice day, we get a lot of motorcycles coming down our street.
Oh, I thought you were playing bass. I'm a little disappointed, actually.
Sorry about that. I was Geddy Lee.
Yeah, I thought you were practicing. You're running with the devil. Bomb.
All right. We're flying off the rails here on our 100th show. What do we got next, Colin?
Yeah, so just to kind of wrap up this tag match in a neat little package.
Warmish,
it wasn't anything special. 2.5 stars. War Machine picks up the win over Tongaloa. Ro hits the fallout, and we have this to look forward to again. Next week in Hiroshima. Next match, the match that looked just absolutely delicious on paper but did not deliver in the end. Ishii and Ospreay taking on Naito and Takahashi. A match that to me just screams like, oh man, and put this in PWG or Ring of Honor somewhere in front of an American indie pro wrestling crowd. I think it would be amazing. But yeah, this did not deliver. It did not quite meet our expectations. That's not to say that it was necessarily bad. I thought it started off hot with Ospreay and Takahashi, but somewhere after that, it kind of lost its way, slowed down. Naito hits the Destino and Ospreay, and away we go in 12 minutes.
Yep. You nailed it. I can't add anything. I can't add a silver lining to that. That's exactly what it was. On a show that really didn't have a lot going into it on paper, not a lot of sexiness. That was the one match that stood out to us. And maybe we did put it on a bit of a pedestal, and maybe we wanted more than what they I don't want to say they could have, because that's bullshit. More than they were allowed. More than they were willing to give, given the show, I don't know. But to me, that what was on paper didn't live up to whatever expectations I might have had, given what was on paper. It was a good match on a very average show. And maybe the second best match on the entire show, which is not saying a lot.
Might have been the highlight for me, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not even sniffing four. It's not sniffing
no,
four.
No, I'll give this three.
It's in the threes. Maybe a 3.5. But yeah, there's no. It's not sniffing four. That's for sure.
Yeah. See, we don't throw out 4 stars. Get out of here.
Hey, we're very frugal with our fours. This one was not.
And this next match for the Never Trios titles, I'm not going to give 4 stars either. LIJ defending against Okada, Yano, and Rocky Romero. First of all, I was wrong. We did not see new Never Trios champions here. So
Right. Maybe
I have to be a bit more selective about my Never titles here, Damon. Maybe I shouldn't pop potato them that haphazardly.
Right, but for a match that's second from the top, it was meaningless.
Oh, was it ever? Was it ever?
And that's what happens when you make these belts fun. Let's make them fun. okay, well, this is what happens when you do that. No, it meant nothing. Here's what the match meant. The match meant Evil and Okada, you know, locking horns and him missing the Rainmaker. And then was it the Evil? What does he call that? The fucking Everything is Evil.
Yeah,
slam
Everything is Evil. He hits the finisher, puts his boot over Okada. Then Bushi catches Romero in the Codebreaker. Bushi gets the cover on Romero. 1-2-3. LIJ stands literally over the fallen Chaos members, and LIJ retains the Never Trios titles. And off we go.
And that's again the image that they wanted to come across was Boot standing on top of Okada.
By the way, this is their third successful title defense. How about that?
Right, which I you know, I'm more of a fan of than the hot potato idea, right?
Yeah,
because even the hot potato one, I was like, all right, fuck it, do it a hot potato. It's already hot potato to death. If that's what it's going to be, that'll be the fun belt, and we'll go from there. Great. Okay. Cool. I mean, maybe they're turning the corner and treating it with a little bit more seriousness. I don't want to, you know, but again, this title defense meant nothing. Zilcho, zero, nothing. And that's what you get. You get a bored crowd, an uninterested crowd, because they know it's bullshit. And you're going to, you know, if you put that match before intermission, great. Semi-main event. Okay.
By the way, this match, you know, it got me thinking about Fire Pro Wrestling. Have you been keeping up with this Fire Pro Wrestling Returns by any chance, the new game?
Well, I know it's out, and I know it's just available on PC for right now.
It's not available on Steam right now, but
yeah,
I believe
the PS4 version is coming soon.
Yeah. Right, Damon, let me tell you something. I'm not a gamer at all. I don't give a shit about video games.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking to myself, boy, if I... Should I get a PS4 just to play this game, and then we can have
a PS3 just for it.
Yeah.
I don't really play that much else. I play I'll play a little Grand Theft Auto every once in a while, just like, you know, just take a motorcycle and a machete and just go crazy.
Right, so you can do the things that you think about doing in real life.
Yeah, yes.
Essentially, but not get arrested.
I just love going into the strip club and just, I always go to the strip club. I always look for a motorcycle. I prefer a motorcycle just because I just want to do crazy shit. And of course I'll use the cheat code so I never die, right? But I never go like online. Like the worst thing in the world is like online gaming. Oh, I want to play with a fucking 12-year-old who's going to call me a twat. No, I don't want that.
Anyway, what I'm saying here is this whole thing got me thinking, like, man, I should get a PS4. Like I'm trying to get people to convince me.
Do it.
To get a PS4 just for this one game.
Well, I mean, it is a Blu-ray player too.
That's right. That's right.
And a media hub.
Compatible.
Right? I'm sure you have all your widgets. You can get your Hulu through that. And
yes, yes.
Sounds pretty hot. Get your Hulu through it.
Right? So the kids are calling it nowadays?
I believe so, right? Yeah, I would say go for it.
Because you can have your own Never Trios Champions.
Yes.
On Fire Pro Wrestling Returns. And you can make them LIJ, or you can make them...
Anything.
Anything.
Fucking Freebirds. You can make them,
Getting back to what you were saying, though, regarding these titles being fun, I think that there's a way to make titles fun, but not a joke. Like, the fun aspect of these titles, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's juniors teaming up with heavyweights, right? Like, teams like Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and... this LIJ team, and you know, you can make them fun but serious at the same time.
Yes, I agree with that. But when you have a meaningless title at the top of a show, I wonder what the gate was for this show. I don't know if anything's been announced. I think we're recording, and they usually get it a little bit. We're always a little bit late with that.
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, that I'd be curious to see how this show did, because on paper there really wasn't a lot of sexiness, and again, especially with the Never six-man titles on top as well as the Never heavyweight championship, I'd be curious to see if people were buying what New Japan was selling.
Finally, we arrive at the main event here for the NEVER Openweight Championship. The champion, Minoru Suzuki, defending against Michael Elgin in a lumberjack death match, despite our wishes that we aired last week on the PuroCast. My hopes for a straightforward Suzuki-Elgin match were foiled. I don't know, Damon, for whatever reason, like, when I think of Suzuki and Elgin, like, when I think of them having a match together, like, in my mind, like, I'm picturing, like, a 90s-style All-Japan match. Like,
right.
Like, that's what I'm seeing in my mind. And
right.
Both times, I didn't get anything close to that.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm in the same boat as you. I will say that I think Michael Elgin would probably think the same way, right? I think,
yeah, because he's a fan of that.
Oh, he takes massive influence from it. You know what I mean? It's he wears it on his sleeves. So I would say that, yeah, he would probably agree with that. I don't want to speak for him, but I think just in the little bit that we know and we see and we know his history and we know what he likes.
We're going to wake up tomorrow. I was going to say, Damon from PuroCast says Michael Elgin told him that.
They did not say that. But, yeah, you know he is heavily influenced by that. When they announced that this was going to be a lumberjack match, I did cringe because I was very afraid of, one, I find it very difficult to find a great lumberjack match in the history of pro wrestling. I just don't like the way that they're structured. And
Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Hennig on Raw.
They're all the same. They're all.
Shawn came out in a leather jacket on crutches.
you're like fucking Mackie today with the history. Look, it's not one of my favorite match styles. So when I heard that, it was a little disappointing. And then again, adding the Suzuki-gun influence, you know that there was going to be plenty of bullshit and shenanigans.
Oh, we saw the tomfoolery. We saw the guardrail on the outside, the brawling. I mean, this had all of the Suzuki-gun elements that we've grown to hate.
Yep. And again, adding the lumberjack match element to that just makes it even worse. I thought the match was good. Again, I don't think it was anywhere near four. I would put it in the threes, which is disappointing, being that it is a main event on, again, not a super show. This is not one of the most important shows of the year, but it's a B show in my eyes.
It's supposed to be building to the future, they said.
Well, yeah.
This build to the future?
No, not in my eyes.
Not in my eyes either.
I don't know what Michael Elgin did wrong, but it feels to me that a guy who's having such a tremendous year in ring wise,
this was the second.
Just not gonna great.
This was the second bullshit finish that he was involved in this year.
Yeah.
That just made him look like a fucking the G1 with Yano, the invisible nut shot that never happened, heard around the world. Mm-hmm. And now the Izuka Iron Claw.
I would be okay. I would have felt much better if it were like even like something as ridiculous as like mist.
you were hoping for some mist here.
Like I was just like the thing about it is that you see him standing on the ape or on the ramp, Izuka.
Yeah.
For what had to be at least 3 minutes, and then he finally makes his way into the ring. Again, ref, so like 1,000 ref bumps, all kinds of, you know, the lumberjacks going at each other.
Did you ever notice Izuka's Titantron, his video package? It's just like him committing felonies, like him just murdering people and like.
Yeah. So I can honestly say, in my opinion, that match was disappointing. It was disappointing. It was lots of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, yeah.
That I didn't think was needed.
So far, these two guys, maybe it's just because they haven't been given the opportunity, really, to have the match that I see for them in my mind's eye. But, well, in
any
case,
maybe that is a big criticism that we have.
Yeah,
is that we do project those wants onto things that maybe they never were going to be that, But in my mind, I think you're right, man. I just see a totally different match than what we got there. It was disappointing. It really was disappointing. And truth be told, it harkened back to Suzuki-Gun and Noah. And that's you know that feeling you got right now with that match, with this match? That was Noah for like a year and a half.
Oh God!
So when you wonder, right? So when you were wondering why are these fucking crowds are like 500 or 600 people? That's why, because people got sick of that nonsense. People got sick. I mean, that and the fact that Suzuki-Gun was running rampant over all their guys, making them all look like geeks. But that's it. Like, you don't learn from your fucking mistakes.
I gotta be honest with you. I am kind of looking forward to that Great Voyage show in October.
Oh, the Noah show?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're rebounding.
I think they are.
It's a slow road for them. It's a slow road for them, but they're rebounding.
I'm hearing a lot more buzz than I've heard in a while.
Yeah, they're rebounding.
On the Noah front.
But that's you know, for everybody's like, but that's what you get with Suzuki-Gun. So when they strolled back in at New Year Dash, that next show, I was like, okay, we're getting Suzuki back, but understand there's going to be some bad with the good.
You should have tackled them right there and saved us all.
but that's – and there are people that love the Suzuki-Gun nonsense. I don't get it.
I love Minoru Suzuki having good pro wrestling matches, fights like the one against Okada from the G1. That's what I like. Not this tomfoolery.
Good with the bad. I said it from the jump. There's going to be times where we're going to be pulling our fucking hair out. This was one of them.
Yep. So Azuka hits Elgin with the Iron Claw, the Iron Finger, whatever you want to call it, which opens up Suzuki to hit the Gotch pile driver. Did I say Azuka hit him with the Iron Claw, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Everybody knows.
I thought I said Suzuki for a second. I got too many Zukis going on here. But anyway. Suzuki hits Elgin with the Gotch pile driver and cuts a promo afterwards, says he's the greatest, and that is your destruction show from Fukushima, which leads us to next Saturday, September 16th, destruction in Hiroshima. Damon, what do you say we quickly go through the card here?
Let's do it. It can't be any worse than what we just saw.
give it time. six-man tag to open it up. I mentioned this earlier. Tiger Mask, Liger, and Tenzan. Taking on Jado, Yoshihashi, and Hirooki Goto.
Okay, I'm hand-waving that match.
Yep, I'm hand-waving that match too, which is sad but true. Yep. What do we got here? We've got Roppongi Vice's final match.
Oh, so, they're officially doing a final match?
Yes, and David, do you want to hear who their opponents are?
I mean, I thought that we saw their final match. So we're doing an official final match.
Yep, we're doing an official final match.
Okay, so it's Roppongi Vice. I'm hoping it's a regular single tag, right?
Right, you're right.
Okay, let me guess. I don't know who. How I'm going to say, it's probably some fucking Suzuki-Gun bullshit conglomerate. I'm going to say close. Taka Michinoku, no?
No. They're different faction.
Chaos?
No.
Chaos, Chaos? No?
No, they are Chaos.
I know, but would they go Chaos, Chaos? Would they do that just as a final match? So Bullet Club?
Yes. And who do you think in Bullet Club Roppongi Vice would be facing?
Chase Owens and Takahashi.
Yes. Did you look that up?
No.
Okay, good. I trust you.
Nope. Well, good for them.
Going out with a bang.
Yeah, maybe. With the, you know, look, if that's what they want, that's what they want. Great. Do you think they get the win? No, I'm going to say they don't get the win. I'm going to say Chase and Takahashi get the win. Because why do a good feel-good moment, right?
You don't want to know what I have something. Oh, boy, this might be a tad Russo-ish what I have in mind, to be honest with you.
What do you got planned?
Oh, man. What would happen if Beretta, who I think many think kind of has an attitude to begin with, what if he turned on Romero and joined the Bullet Club? Could that happen?
I don't want that to happen.
But do you think that's a possibility?
You're
thinking about it, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. It's pro wrestling. I can figure that out. I'm going to go with no, though.
Okay.
No. I mean, they could do it, but they're not going to do that.
Okay. It's just something I'm throwing out there. Just having fun, like the Never Trios titles, you know? Just having fun.
Fantasy booking. I love it. All right. What else we got on the show?
After that, a six-man tag. Get a load of this one. We've got Ibushi, Elgin, and Makabe taking on...
Ibushi, Elgin, and Makabe.
Yeah, that's a good team, right?
I like that. Well, okay, next.
They're taking on Taka Michinoku, Iizuka, and Minoru Suzuki.
Are we going to see a fucking Elgin Iizuka program? Is that what we're doing here?
Damon, look. He hit him. He cost Elgin the Never title. He did.
Oh, my God.
So Elgin's going to want revenge, right?
Oh, my God. What the fuck is happening?
What the fuck is happening indeed? And Kota Ibushi's on this team?
Wow.
Could we be going for... Man, what if we're building towards an Ibushi-Suzuki match? That'd be interesting. I'm kind of down with that because... If you remember, they had a killer match in the G1 Climax 2013, Ibushi and Suzuki. But that would involve Ibushi chasing the Never title, and I think that you and I both kind of have Ibushi penciled in for grander, semi-main event level things at Wrestle Kingdom, if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that's the case, but who fuck knows at this point? I can't. I'm still kind of stuck on Elgin and Iizuka.
Yeah, man. Elgin and Iizuka.
Fuck me. All right. Let's see what happens there. All right. What else?
Next match. The match I'm probably looking forward to most on the card for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Titles. We've got Ricochet and Taguchi. Defending against Tai Chi and Kanemaru.
You're looking forward to that?
Out of everything on this card? Oh,
really?
Wait a second. Okay, out of everything on this card besides the main event, which is Tanahashi versus Zach, all right? I'm probably looking forward to this one second most.
That's not saying much at all. Fuck. Really?
By the way, let's talk about Ricochet for 1 second.
Okay.
Nothing has been officially announced yet, but I mean he's done with Lucha Underground. I think he's on his way to Orlando. I really do. Next year. Unless they come up with something like really, that's the thing, they're not gonna do that for Ricochet though. I don't think they have him, you know, unless they give him the junior heavyweight title or like have him get involved and with heavyweights. I mean, I think Ricochet's gone at the end of this year.
I would probably agree with that.
And didn't he win Bola too? I think he won Bola.
Yeah, he won did the one that just passed.
Yeah,
that's the second one he won.
That's kind of like a, you know, little farewell there. Nice farewell for Ricochet from that scene. Sad to say, he's one of the best juniors, you know, in the world.
I can't disagree.
He's an asset to New Japan, but
right. Well, yeah. All right, you're really fucking depressing the shit out of me.
I'm sorry. I'm just bringing things
we're
up.
We're supposed to have a celebration. This was supposed to be a party.
Well, look, we're on the road to destruction here, pal.
You're telling me I'm already on that road. I'm looking for a little, looking for a little smile.
Well, look, you're not going to get that until October. I'm sorry to say.
Oh boy. Well, I'm going to London, dude. So
hey, I'm going to Vegas.
All right.
I'm pretty psyched about that.
What else? I don't care about the tag titles. Go ahead. Next.
So after the junior tag titles, we have the rematch from this morning. For the IWGP tag titles, G.O.D., War Machine, K.E.S. Who cares?
I can't say I'm excited for it because of what I saw.
We saw it. It happened. It
wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good. Doesn't matter.
I don't want to be negative Ned. Give me a positive in this, Colin.
Let's continue working up the card here. Maybe we'll stumble upon a diamond in the rough. Oh boy, how about this match?
I mean, we're not out of our minds.
No, it's just that's kind of what these destruction shows are.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Next match is Finley and Juice which is actually a team I kind of dig, Finley and Juice together. Against Leo Tonga and Bad Luck Fall A.
We just saw that match. They're doing it again?
We're seeing it again.
No, we're not.
It is really? Damon, as God is my witness, it is on the card as of right now on NJPW's official website for Destruction in Hiroshima. That's on the card.
Holy shit. Why are we doing that again?
I guess to get Leo Tonga some more experience. I don't know. Look, I can't come up with a reason.
Like, why would we do the same exact match again? Back to back. We got the same exact matches. Yeah,
Omega having surgery really kind of screwed these cards up in a way.
But it would have been the same match anyway.
Yeah, you're right. It would have been the same match anyway, but...
But now it's a worse same match.
Right, it's a worse same match, and it's a shame, too, because I dig that Finley Juice tag team, but...
Why would they... Colin, help me understand. I've been watching this shit for a long time, right?
Right.
Give me the logic behind. Help me understand, because I don't have it. Something's missing with me.
Oh, something's missing, all right.
Why would they do this same match twice?
I don't have a good reason for you. I'm sorry. Why would they have the tag title match?
That's what I'm saying.
Twice. Why would they do that? Why would they do anything here?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not super thrilled with this. Okay, go ahead.
After that is a 10-man tag. Brace yourself. It's LIJ versus Okada, Ishii, Yano, Ospreay, and Ghetto. That should be good, right?
Give me that again. I'm sorry.
So it's all of LIJ.
Right.
Versus Ghetto, Ospreay, Yano, Ishii, and Okada.
Yeah, we've seen it 250,000 times. They've got it down by now. It should be okay.
It'll be fine.
Okay. I can't say I'm excited for it, but okay, great.
Kushida versus El Desperado for the junior title, which I think
a highlight.
Yeah. No, that is absolutely a highlight here. But as I'm going through this card, I think it'll be a fine match. I see Kushida retaining, but you're going to go with El Desperado?
I'm going El Desperado, and I'm going to say it's going to be match of the night.
Okay. All right. I disagree with you there. I really think that the main event's going to be match of the night. Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. I don't see Zack walking away with the IC title just because I really believe that Tanahashi's holding on to this thing until Wrestle Kingdom.
I kind of feel the same way, too.
I kind of feel same way about Suzuki, too, to be honest with you. I think
you might be right there.
Suzuki and Tanahashi. I'm going to say right here on our 100th episode that they are going into Wrestle Kingdom as champions.
Okay. I could see it. I could see it happening. And I think this match will be very good as well. I see Kushida and El Desperado stealing a show. I'm hoping. That'd be nice. They got a good chance to do so. So, fingers crossed. We got two decent main events, semi main event and main event for this show. That's hopefully going to save the show. Because truth be told, I don't know if I'm really geared up for what they're delivering here.
And then do you realize after the Hiroshima show, we've still got another full week of Destruction buildup, like a full week.
Yeah, you know what, though? Looking back in history, though, and my recollection of these Destruction shows is that usually this is the case. The first show is always a little bit, and it's the second show and a third show usually build. So, listen, I'm sitting here just dreading knowing that the feedback we're going to get to the show is, oh, we're overly negative, we're overly this, we're overly, we're shitting on everything. And I really don't think that's the case.
We're just talking honestly about these shows that they were.
Fingers crossed that we're gonna have some good show, at least two good matches for this upcoming show, and then the last show will take us somewhere. But again, with Omega's injury, That's a big deal.
Would you be surprised if they announced probably like this week, let's say, yeah, Omega's, turns out he's not going to heal in time. Is that going to surprise you? Probably not, right?
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, I'm going on record saying that I'd be surprised if the match actually takes place.
Wow, because that is still penciled in as the main event for the U.S. title, Omega defending against Juice Robinson. And honestly, if that is not the main event for that Kobe show, oh boy, Damon, you're not going to believe this. Oh well, yeah, sure, you'll believe it. I'm just kind of skimming through this Kobe show. Guess what?
What?
Guess what match we're seeing again? For the IWGP tag titles, G.O.D., War Machine, K.E.S. We're seeing that. We're seeing that three times. Look, I'm looking through this Kobe show right now. I'm here to tell you that if Omega is not able to make it, I don't know what they're going to do. Probably the second biggest match on the card is Okada and Ospreay against Takahashi and Evil.
That's pretty cool on paper, actually.
Yeah, that is pretty cool on paper. Yeah, it's the second biggest one on the card.
Hmm. I don't know. Look, if he's saying he's going to be there, and the company's saying he's going to be there, then he's going to be there. I don't know how well he can work on a surgically repaired meniscus.
Quite frankly, the success of this show is dependent upon his return.
Well, again, don't think that we're not going to get Kenny Omega Tokyo Dome. I mean, we weren't going to get that anyway, but we were going to get a good match. We were going to get a real good match.
Yeah, we were going to get high-level Kenny Omega.
And I'm not even saying that we're not going to get a really good match right now. I'm very concerned with that injury and the fact that you're telling me he had surgery to repair.
Yeah.
That's not something you come back from, I don't believe, in a couple weeks' time. To me, that says months.
Kenny Omega is going to attempt to do it, so.
Well, fingers crossed, because that show sounds like it's dependent upon.
Listen, maybe he has those mutant healing powers that some guys have, right?
We can only hope, and we'll see soon. We'll see soon enough. I hate sitting here just speculating about it, but that's all we can do. And I would be surprised.
Alrighty, well.
I know, man. What a what a joyride!
What an uplifting 100th episode of the New Japan Purocast. Thank you so much, guys, for always listening and tuning in each and every week. Right?
Sorry. This is I gotta tell you the truth. You know what I mean? Sometimes the truth hurts, kids. This is how we're feeling.
Yeah. So. Again, general consensus: not a bad show, but by 2017 New Japan standards,
I'm going on record and saying I don't think that was a good show.
No.
I'm going on record and saying I don't think that was a good show.
Not a good show. Not a good show.
I'm giving it a thumbs down.
There you have it, folks. That is our honest assessment of this destruction show from Fukushima. Hopefully, Hiroshima and Kobe will be better. So there you have it. That's this week's episode number 100. Damon, are you going to be back next week for 101?
I will be here for 101. I'm also going again to London, England, kids.
Merry old England.
Yes, I'll be there the last week of September into the first week of October. I am going to the Rev Pro show. So there is a Rev Pro show that I will be attending. I'm super excited.
Is it at your call?
No, it is not at your call. It is what's the name of the joint? It's brain lock where it is. But anyway, I'm going with a good friend, Joel Yentis, who has a bunch of friends out there. We're going to do hang out there at the Rev Pro show. I'm scrolling through. At the cockpit.
Ah, okay.
At the cockpit. So a big shout out to Joel, who was very friendly, hit me up on Facebook. So if you're in the London area, I'll be there on the 1st. It's a Sunday. And We'll hang out. We'll have some ales, some beers, and talk some pro wrestling. Have a good time. Get up to some nonsense and all that fun stuff. All right. So that's that on the London front for Damon. And that is all that I have for this week. Sorry for the depressing show, everyone. 100th show. Yay.
Well, there you have it. You'll be tuning into Rev Pro and you'll see Damon's face in the audience.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
All right. So we just want to thank each and every one of you, as always, for tuning in. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher. We are everywhere. You can listen to us right on the website. And, of course, we're up on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network every Monday afternoon. So a plethora of ways to listen to the PuroCast. And Damon and I are going to be back here same time next week to talk about destruction in Hiroshima. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week.